From the Land de Grandes University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the sixth day of September 2017. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Stewart Peterson, the folks from the Andersons Climbers facility. They make ethanol outside of Logansport, Indiana, should join us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll hear all about the weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, agricultural economist from the U of I, Todd Hubbs, will tell us about basis and carry and what that means in the marketplace today, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. It's the sixth day of September. Hope to see you tomorrow at Agronomy Day for Purdue. That's at the Beck Agricultural Center. They kick off at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. I'll be there in the morning. And then in the afternoon, Todd Hubbs, Chris Hurt, and Chuck Shelby will join us about 1:15. That's 12:15 in the Central Time Zone for our market panel. One of those Will Ag deals. Hope you're there, and we see you during the day. And then next week, on Tuesday evening, we'll do the same sort of thing with the Champaign County Farm Bureau at 7 o'clock at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building. That's the Extension office out on Country Fair Drive on the west side of town here in Urbana-Champaign. So hope to see you at one of those two affairs. You can always check out everything on our website at willag.org. Just hit calendar and you'll find out where we are. And always, if you want to schedule one of these for your event, you can do that too. Just contact me, T. Gleason, at illinois.edu or 217-333-9697. We're now joined by Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson to take a look at the agricultural markets. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome. Enjoy it all the time.
So let's talk a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace. We've had a bump over the last couple of days, in particular for soybeans. I'm wondering how open interest and maybe other things have changed in the marketplace and what that really tells us.
Well, you know, we've seen open interest go up both on beans and corn yesterday, and it appears to be up again today. This is likely short covering, Todd, and not any new buying for now, you know, so it can always be misleading. You know, the market, people say, well, you know, last year put in its bottoms on August 31st and it probably did it again this year. Well, maybe it did, but I wouldn't bet my life on it just yet. We need to see December corn close above that 20-day moving average at 363 to think that we're going to try and extend gains up into the 370 level. Interesting when you look at carry, because December 17 to December 18 is now at 40-plus cents. And bean carry, on the other hand, from November to November is only at 18.5 cents. And I often talk with people and say, you know, if you look at the board will tell you, you know, what the commercial is thinking about. And basically what it's saying right now is we want beans and corn should be stored. You know, we just don't have, we've got more than enough corn. We're not interested in taking corn unless you're willing to really get sliced at the basis level. Now, you look at managed money, basically yesterday it's estimated that they're short 65,000 spring wheat, 58,000 corn, 4,000 beans, 30,000 meal, and long 71,000 oil. Funds, on the other hand, now this is interesting, you know, because people tend to complain about the funds and forget about the managed money. Funds were buyers of wheat, corn, beans, and meal, and sellers of oil. In other words, took exactly the opposite position of what the managed money was doing. And so, you know, it's an interesting situation. I think looking at the crop progress report last night, you know, it certainly showed the maturity on corn being behind, not by a tremendous amount, but behind. And so I think as we go on, and it's maybe a little bit of what's supporting the market now is the light on early frost talk. There's no question. Everybody's just been dying to talk about early frost. So I don't know, you know. Well, they're looking for anything to give some life to the market to the upside, you know, give somebody a reason to want to buy it. And so it's as we move along, you know, we don't know how Hurricane Harvey and now potentially Irma are going to affect us. You know, the wheat market is more generally affected by what goes on as far as exports go out of Texas. But it certainly has the oil market confused. You know, we can't quite tell whether The demand is going to drop so much that it's going to offset the production. And amazingly enough, we've got ports and production units already ramping up again in Texas. You know, so it's something. It surprises me how fast we can recover if we have the opportunity at times.
What about cattle futures? Just a quick thought there.
Well, you know, cattle futures were kind of, they lumbered along this morning waiting to see what the online Fed cattle prices are going to be. And after they were released, they bounced up. We have seen open interest continue to climb both in the, you know, all in the lives, the feeders and the hogs. So at the moment, you would expect that we could see continued either sideways to higher trade. I follow candlesticks, you know, and candlesticks basically right now are indicating buys in a lot of markets, but you know, you can turn from green to red in a big hurry. It's just a circumstance where I think this is a good thing, and you know, some of that too is because of the hurricanes and everything else that's gone on.
You know, next Tuesday, USDA will release the September crop production report. We've been watching numbers come out from a few places. What have you seen in those that you find of interest?
Well, I thought the Informa numbers were pretty interesting because, you know, they came in at 169.2 and 49.2, very close to where the USDA is. And so the question in my mind at this point in time, Todd, is can the South, which appears to have a very strong crop, and the East, also in the same situation, make up for some of the losses that we've seen in the Midwest? And I was talking to one of our clients the other day, a very large guy out in Nebraska, you know, and I said, well, what do you think your crop is going to be? And he said, we're probably going to have a record corn crop. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And, you know, we haven't really hardly had to irrigate it all this year. So we're pretty thrilled. Now, some of our other Nebraska clients are only going to have an average crop. You know, everything depends upon who got rain and when. You know, this is such an odd year, Todd, because normally we have clients say, oh, it's really poor here, but it's better 10 miles away. You know, this year it's just the opposite. Boy, it's really good here, but 10 miles away it's more poor. So, you know, we really aren't going to know until those combines roll just where we're at. One of the things that the USDA report may give us next week, I don't know if they'll really change acreage or not, but they may make that a little bit of a change to that. They have the right to do that if they want to. You know, they are getting the numbers right now, but they tend to be rather reluctant to make any great big changes. We'll see if they hang in there with the high yield numbers.
On the thought of the combines rolling, we don't think too much about South American combines rolling at this time of year, but it's not wrapped up their harvest too long ago, I wouldn't think, for the second crop corn.
No, Safrinha corn harvest is done now in Brazil, you know, but unfortunately their low prices just persist. You know, farmers have been slow sellers. You know, we're looking forward, of course, to the new bean planting starting. They're allowed to start planting on September 10th. In Brazil, and so you know, central Brazil is probably going to start planting, I would say, somewhere around the 10th in Paraná, the 15th in Mato Grosso, which is really unusual because normally we hear them say, well, you know, we're allowed to plant, but we can't because it's too dry. Well, rainfall was very generous in August this year, which is normally the peak of the dry season. And so it's likely that they might be able to start on the date that they're allowed. One of the things that's happened in the past month is we've seen freight rates go up 20 to 40%. To ship a bushel of corn in July was only $2 a bushel. I shouldn't say only, but that's what it was, $2 a bushel. Now it's gone to, you know, that $2.40 and maybe even higher on average. So, you know, their corn is a lot less competitive. And so the exchange rate is just keeping farmers in a wait and hold mood. You know, the slow selling is really, well, we know what it's like here when farmers are slow to sell and when we have a big crop. Grain storage shortage is terrible. And much of that Safrinha corn is going to be taken to elevators because they haven't got anywhere else to go for it. They're not going to get hardly any money for it. And they're putting it in, the elevators are putting it to silo bags. So the big concern now is, you know, where are they going to store their winter wheat? And then the beans that they're going to start to harvest probably in late December or early January, it's kind of setting up to be a pretty ugly situation down there.
And in Argentina, what are you hearing?
Well, you know, Argentina is interesting because you look at them, they'll probably start planting about mid-September, you know, on corn. But, you know, right now, central Argentine producers are they're having a tough time. They've had pretty excessive rains and some flooding. So when they do plant, it's interesting because they plant in phases. The first phase ends in early October, and then they plant beans in November, and then they go back to corn in December until about mid-January, and then double crop beans are planted after wheat is planted sometime in January. They're also experiencing very slow farmer selling. Macri, when he took over, he lowered the bean export tax to 30% from 35%, and he promised to drop it 0.5% per month starting in January of 18. He also promised to not interfere in the export business if corn prices rose, which caused corn planting in Argentina to go up 5 to 10% for 17-18. And, basically, they haven't been able to plant what you would call a good rotation in years and years and years because of the way that Argentina always controlled the corn crop. Well, now the rumors are that the government is realizing they need the money from the bean export tax. And so, if this rumor becomes true, we might actually see the Argentine farmer plant more corn acres than what they were intending to do. So, everything is political, 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 no matter where you go.
And then the bottom line, how does it affect the U.S. producer?
Well, there's so much corn and beans that remain out there. And that isn't just in Brazil and Argentina. It's here in the U.S. too. Everybody's been slow sellers because prices just haven't been what they wanted them to be. So, the next bean crop starts coming in late December, early January. So, we could see a glut that just comes to the market at the same time. If that real weakens in Brazil or the dollar strengthens more, we could just see a fire sale in South America to try and get some of this grain moved. And our farmers are sitting here waiting to see the markets go higher. So it's really something I think our listeners have got to really be on the ball in terms of watching what basis is doing and taking advantage of prices. If we get a decent bounce, make some sales. I think it could be really nasty in the bottom, at the end of everything, if we can't get this crop to come out into the marketplace in a timely fashion.
Hey, Jackie, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vikes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, the current price structure of corn and soybean futures markets indicate positive carry in both markets and raises the question of whether producers should make decisions about grain sales. The decision by producers to store corn or soybean should be determined by the returns to storage. There'll be a lot of corn around this fall. USDA projects about 16.5 billion bushels when you add up what's left over from last year to this year's harvest. It's projecting about 4.8 billion bushels of soybeans. Well, that's a lot of both crops, but University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs is not worried about running out of space to store it. In fact, the market is urging farmers to go ahead and store both crops at the moment by pricing futures contracts for later in the year a bit higher than the nearby months. The difference is called the carry, says Hubbs.
Having said that, the carry probably doesn't pay out for commercial storage like you would see with on-farm storage, but there is a nice carry in the market for both crops.
Harvest bids, says Hubbs, and you can read his thoughts on the Farm Doc Daily website. Harvest bids for corn and soybeans possess a week basis. This means the difference between the futures price in Chicago and the local cash price across the nation are generally wider than normal. In central Illinois, for example, the bid is about 7 cents wider than usual. It seems there could be some room for improvement.
When we look at the fundamentals in corn and soybean markets, they've been sort of poor. We're looking at higher yields than maybe we expected. We're looking at large crops in South America. But, on the corn side, I think the demand through the 17-18 marketing year is going to be really good. Ethanol grind is going to be strong. I think our exports are going to be there, especially at these price points. And feed, I think, is going to be up across the board. So I think there's some strength in corn demand.
Demand for soybeans may be a slightly different story. However, the domestic crush has been strengthening and exports to China remain super strong.
But when we think about storing into next year and hedging the storage, basis is a real issue. And in Illinois in particular, I think this year we'll see a typical basis pattern for corn I believe that will be the case due to the supply and demand factors under consideration. But I think there might be a lot of basis risk in soybeans. There's really no discernible pattern for spring basis in soybeans. Some years we have a positive basis. This year we had a really weak basis through the spring for soybeans. So I think there's a lot of basis risk when you think about storing and hedging soybeans, and you should take that into consideration.
Well, the uncertainty surrounding corn and soybean yield projections for 2017, says Todd Hubbs, may encourage a patient approach to pricing crops. By storing corn and soybeans unpriced, one holds an expectation of prices increasing by more than the cost of owning and storing them. Over the short term, significantly higher prices require a larger reduction in the production forecast by USDA on September 12 or October 12. Over a longer horizon, higher prices may occur if demand is stronger than currently forecast. Oh, and Southern Hemisphere crop problems could also materialize to provide a price increase. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain side of the market. Scott Butcher is on the line. He's from the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. Thanks, Scott, for being with us. Can you tell me about basis in your area?
Basis really hasn't changed much lately. I mean, seems like everybody is kind of in the same ballpark right now. Everybody's got enough old crop to get them by to new crop or to harvest get started. So not a lot of push right now. It just really hasn't done much lately.
What do you forecast for the ethanol market for the rest of the year?
It feels like things are going to stay strong. You know, I think with the lower cash price, you know, a lot of times basis has to do the work to originate grain. So that's kind of the way it feels.
Switch crops are end users on the hunt for soybeans.
Yeah, I mean, everybody right now is kind of similar to the corn situation where you've got enough old crop beans out there still to bridge the gap till new crop. So not you know, a huge inverse like we normally see sometimes in our area. But we this year feels like we have enough to get by.
And finally, your bids for the day.
Cash corn tonight, we are 3.48, soybeans 9.29.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media for a Wednesday afternoon, the 6th day of September. Drew Lerner is here. He's with World Weather Incorporated. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, indeed.
Hey, so tell me about this nice cool weather we are having here in the Midwest. How long will it be around, and does it indicate any problems like freezes or frost in some time for the near future?
Well, I think this morning was probably as cool as it's going to be for a while. We did see some frost this morning in the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, I think a couple of spots in northern Wisconsin also. None of it was cold enough to cause any really serious problems. A little leaf burn in the top parts of the canopy maybe, but nothing that was going to destroy our production potential or quality of the crop out there. It was a little colder in western Nebraska this morning. It was interesting. It got down to 29 degrees out there, but that doesn't count. The heart of the Midwest will be under the influence of a strong surface high-pressure system for the next several days. It will be coolish but not cold enough to cause frost and freezes, and the system will be in control until Irma comes inland. Now, Hurricane Irma is expected to come up into the Carolinas, and part of that storm will possibly get into the lower eastern parts of the Midwest, maybe Ohio and Kentucky. We'll see what happens. And see how strong the system holds together. And it's probably not going to be a huge event for the Midwest proper, but certainly the Carolinas will be vulnerable. Until that storm and Jose, which is Irma's brother, which is out into the Atlantic, once both those storm systems are out of the picture, we'll introduce some more cool air into the U.S. But this is probably 10 days from now. So I think we'll have some good dry and mild to warmish weather until that happens, with the exception perhaps in the eastern Midwest where that hurricane will come up. And
it would be nice to pile up some growing degree days, warmish as in what kind of high temperatures?
Well, you know, it's not going to be that warm. The western Corn Belt will probably see temperatures that will be in the 80s periodically. But the eastern Midwest, that's going to be a little bit tougher. I think that we'll be in the 70s on our warmer days. It all depends on Irma and how much of a ridge it can build ahead of it. We might see 2 days of temperatures over 80 degrees in the eastern parts of the Midwest. Most of that comes right before the storm comes up into the region, so it would be sometime in the latter part of this weekend. And then once the storm is gone, we'll kind of cool it back down a little bit. Not like it is now, but just a little bit milder. And then, like I said, out about 10 days from today, we'll probably have our next shot of colder air around. Well, it'll actually be about 10 days after Irma moves inland.
It's a little early to talk very much about Brazil. However, they do have a dry season, and then they need to have a little rainfall before they begin planting. How are they doing in their growing regions there?
Well, it certainly is very dry at the moment, as it should be. I don't think there's any reason for us to be concerned about that. Now, the Brazilians like to get into their fields, especially in Mato Grosso and some areas down to Sao Paulo and Paraná, as early as mid-September. And so there's starting to be a little buzz in the marketplace about that and the fact that there's no rain on the forecast charts. But that initial rainfall is never all that great. It's always sporadic and light for the most part. And so I think we'll end up seeing that evolve in the second half of this month. But for this next 10 days, I don't think we'll see any rain. I do expect a lot of rain in southern Brazil, though, this spring. And that is going to cause some delays in field work at times. This will be from Paraná southward into Rio Grande do Sul and back into parts of eastern Argentina. And, in fact, we're going to be releasing that forecast here in just a few hours. But the outlook is wet and in the south. The center west and center south crop areas will probably do okay, but the far south is going to have some disruption.
Hey, thanks for the early glimpse into what you're working on. We appreciate it and glad you're with us each and every week. Thanks so much.
Thank you, and have a great afternoon. Enjoy that weather.
I will. That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.